Open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. If maybe you're new here, you're looking for the Gospel of Luke, gotta kind of go about two-thirds of the way back in your Bible, and you'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you can find Luke. And go to chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, and in just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14, Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. And it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's a passage that deals with what we call the Last Supper. Jesus is having this last meal with his disciples prior to his crucifixion, prior to, obviously, his death, and then his resurrection. And you're familiar with the Scripture, I'm sure, but I want to look at it in a little different way. Have you ever thought about how intimate Jesus wants to be with you? Have you ever thought about how he just wants to be close to you and be with you and hear from you and experience you, and he wants you to experience him? We have recently moved to Oklahoma City area. You know, we were in Tulsa for a lot of years. Back in June, Jerry and I moved to Edmond. We're kind of on the west edge of Edmond. And several reasons that we did that, but 10 of those reasons are called grandchildren. Okay? 10 of those are called grandchildren. We're able to kind of centralize our ministry a little more here in Oklahoma City. But to be quite honest, the grandkids even overpowered that. And we're able to spend time with grandkids. Not yesterday, but the Saturday before that, when the good guys won on that Saturday. I had the opportunity to be with my 17-year-old grandson, Will. And we made a trip to Norman, and we went to the ball game. And we just kind of spent the day together. We got there early and went around and looked at all the Heisman Trophy statues and coaches' statues, and we went into some of the buildings and saw all the football stuff, and we just had the best day. We talked about some pretty deep things as we drove to Norman, as we drove back, and I had an opportunity as granddad to talk with him about things that are important and things that aren't important and things to add to his life and things to keep away from his life. And I have to admit, the ball game was good, but the best part was the intimate conversation with my grandson. That was the best part. Boy, I'd have hated to miss that. I'd have really hated to miss that. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture how Jesus is longing for intimacy with his children, and how this group of disciples missed that, and why they missed it. So stand with me, would you, and honor the word of the Lord. And I want to read to you beginning in verse 14. And you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I want you to look at it carefully and closely. And let's see what God has to say to us this morning on this beautiful day. Look with me beginning in verse 14. Luke chapter 22, being in verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this cup and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. My goodness, thank you. You may be seated. I want to call your attention, and you know kind of how I do things when I preach and teach. I'm always asking questions. And I just want to remind you that I don't ask those questions to embarrass anybody. I don't ask those questions to get an answer, really. Just questions help me think. And so when I ask questions, I don't at all want you to feel uncomfortable, and I don't want you to think, well, now, he just asked a question, should I know that? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's not even the issue. I just want us to think. So don't get bothered by questions. In fact, questions are good. You should always be asking questions. It always be wanting to know the who, what, why, where, and when of Scripture. That's just real critical. So I'm gonna ask some interesting questions, I think, as we walk through this today. And I want you to kind of answer the question in your own heart, answer those questions with me. Do you see something happening here that's very interesting? I mean, do you see Jesus involved in something very, very serious? Do you see Jesus involved in something that is very deep in his heart? In fact, I want you to look at something that he says. Look at verse 15. They've gathered together now and they're reclining at the table. And he said to them, now look at this. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now let me call your attention to something. That little phrase, earnestly desired, is a phrase that means to set your heart on. It means you've thought about it, you've planned it, it's kind of been in your heart, something, and now it's happening. Something you've wanted, something you've desired, something you've planned. You've set your heart on that. It's also a word that can mean to covet, to lust. It's the idea that there's something here that you really want. I mean, you want this. It's not a coveting that says somebody has something else I want and I want it so they don't have it. No, it's a good coveting. It's the idea that I want this thing. I'm planning this. I've set my heart on this. I really do want that. Now look at this. He says, I've earnestly set my heart. Now look. To eat this Passover with you before I suffer. To eat this Passover with you. Now the little phrase, this Passover, is emphatic. All right? Now I think you know that the Greek language is written in a way that there are emphasis at that particular time. Sometimes it's the way the word is structured in the language. Sometimes it's where the word is in the sentence. And when you find words that are emphatic in the language of the New Testament, you need to emphasize those even in reading. And so if you do that, you go back here to verse 15. He says, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. They'd eaten other Passovers. They'd experienced Passovers together about 3 years into ministry. Now they'd had other Passovers. These men are Jewish men. They'd been a part of the Passover feast since they were little boys. Jesus has been a part of other Passover feasts. But he says, now I have set my heart on this Passover. This one is important. This one is different. And then, of course, Luke adds for our understanding. He says, Jesus said he earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In other words, I'm getting close to suffering. I'm getting close to ending my life. I'm getting close to this thing to be over. Jesus is doing something here that's very serious. And in that conversation, we're going to see here in just a moment that Jesus talks about being betrayed. And he actually, here these disciples are all around him, these 12 men. And he says, now one of you is going to betray me. And they, other gospel writers tell us they didn't know who it was, didn't understand that. And he actually says to them, the one whose hand is with mine. That's such an interesting statement. Apparently Judas was pretty close by at the table, maybe on one side of him. We know that John was probably on one side because the scripture talks that John leans into him. But maybe Judas was really close. Close enough that maybe they could be reaching for things on the table at the same time. Can you kind of see that? And it's so amazing to me because Jesus gave them a clue. He gave them a clue. He whose hand is with mine. You think maybe that was happening at about the same time? Maybe he and Judas reached for something about the same time? He whose hand is with mine is the one who will betray me. And I mean, do you sense Jesus is getting pretty intimate here, don't you think? And they go through that conversation, and they go through the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and then the disciples begin to discuss who is it that's going to betray him. Actually, there's some words I'll show you in a moment that means they begin to investigate each other. They begin to look at one another. Is it you? Is it you? Hey, I bet it's Peter. He's a loud mouth anyway. Maybe it's him. They begin to investigate one another. And then that last verse that we read is phenomenal. Verse 24. And there arose also a dispute. That word means strife, quarrel, heat, arguing. And there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Am I wrong? I mean, I look at that passage of Scripture and I want to get hold of those disciples and say, what is wrong with you guys? What in the world are you thinking? What are you doing? And when I look at that, I see Jesus longing for intimacy with these disciples. I see Jesus coveting, lusting, desiring. He's wanted this Passover. This Passover is special. This one is unique. It's not like any other. He longs for this intimacy with his disciples, and they are missing it. So what I want to do is not be too hard on the disciples, really. Maybe a little hard on them. But I want to make sure I don't miss intimacy with Jesus. I want to make sure that I don't miss those special times with Jesus. I want to make sure in my own walk and in my own life as a disciple of the Lord, I don't miss those opportunities when He's trying to speak to me and deal with me and take me deeper in my walk with Him. I want to make sure I don't miss that intimacy. So how do we do that? Well, let's walk through the Scripture together. And to me, it's real obvious some things here. But let's see, what could we do that we would not miss these intimate moments and these good moments with Jesus? Here's the first truth I would encourage you with. Stay kingdom focused. Just stay really kingdom focused. Now, here's what I mean by that. I'm going to show you in Scripture. The kingdom of the Lord is heaven. The kingdom of the Lord is when He absolutely, totally rules. Now, there's going to be a day when Christ is going to come and He is going to rule over this earth with righteousness. His kingdom will come. His ruling will come. His Him being in charge will come. And you want to stay focused on that. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus does. Look beginning in verse 15. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, now look carefully, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. All right, now Jesus is focused on the kingdom. The kingdom of God, where God rules. He is focused on eternity. He says, I'm going to eat this Passover with you, but I will not eat it again. Now listen, that was the last Passover. That was the last supper that Jesus had. That was the last Passover. Now, he intends to eat it again. He intends to be a part of that celebration again. But not until the kingdom. Not until he is in charge. Not until he is in control. Now, the day is going to come when Jesus will come. He will receive his church back unto himself. And you know what happens in heaven. Eventually, we have what they call what? The wedding supper of the Lamb. So Jesus says, I'm going to have this last supper now, but eventually I'm going to have a big celebration in the kingdom. Eventually there's going to be a party like you've never seen in the kingdom. And then he goes on in verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. And look at verse 18. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. I'm through with this kind of celebration. I'm through with this. This will not happen again until the kingdom of God comes. When the kingdom of God comes, I will celebrate. When the kingdom of God comes, I will worship. When the kingdom of God comes, there'll be a supper. When the kingdom of God comes, there'll be the fruit of the vine. But not until the kingdom. And Jesus is so focused on the kingdom. See, I really think that's part of what got him through the crucifixion. He's focused on the kingdom, what's coming next. I think that's part of why he was able to do the suffering and to go through the hurt and to go through the pain, because he knew after death, 3 days, he was resurrected and he was moving toward the kingdom of God. Okay? But here's what I want you to see. He's focused on the kingdom. And they're focused on the here and now. Who's going to deceive him? Is it you? Is it you? Well, who's the greatest among us? And they're arguing about that. Now, I'm convinced that maybe one of the reasons they missed intimacy with Jesus is they just weren't focused on the kingdom of God. Can I, they say confession is good for the soul, and I want to confess to you, and part of that is I just hate to be under conviction alone. I want you all to join me. Okay? This last week, with all this Supreme Court stuff and looking at all this debauchery in our nation and all this arguing and all of this fussing and all of this division and all of this stuff, I just kind of found myself a little depressed and bothered. And I found myself saying, what is our nation becoming? I found myself saying, are there not any leaders at all we can trust? And even when I know a few of those guys that I can trust. But I found myself even overlooking those guys. Saying, isn't there anybody in Washington that's got a brain? Isn't there anybody there who knows how to lead? Isn't there anybody there who can think? Isn't there anybody? And I just found myself so bothered by all that. And then the Lord began to speak to my heart. He said, this isn't your home. This isn't where you live. This isn't who rules your life. It doesn't mean a thing. You have a home coming. You have a king that is far above every king. And one day you will reign with him. And one day there'll be no more idiots in charge. There'll be the Son of God in charge. And one day there'll be no sin. And one day there'll be no tears. And one day there'll be no darkness. And one day there'll be no confusion, because Jesus will be king. And I found myself rejoicing. I found myself watching those guys and laughing. I found myself listening to that stuff and saying, it doesn't mean anything. I have a king, and his name is Jesus. And I reign and rule with him, and I am going to follow my king, not somebody who's a blameless fool. See? And I just found myself out of all that junk and out of all that stuff when I began to focus on the kingdom. I think one of the reasons they missed intimacy with Jesus was they weren't focusing on the kingdom. Now I want you to see something that is phenomenal, and I know I've got to move on. I wish we had about 3 hours, but I want us just to... I want you to see something. Look with me in verse 17. And when he had taken a cup. When he had taken a cup. Now, I tried to study this. There are 4 cups in the Passover ceremony. There are 4 different times they use a cup of wine. The Passover ceremony. And there's some particular things that happen. And let me walk you through this very quickly. First of all, when they come together for a Passover meal, there is thanksgiving. That's the first thing that happens, is thanksgiving. After that expressing of thanks, then they take a cup, cup number 1. And this is the cup he's referencing. Okay? They take a cup. And that cup is to be used to demonstrate separation, sanctification. It was a cup. Not a lot of cups like we use, and personally, I like the way we do it, okay? But they took a cup. And that was a special cup. It wasn't like any other cup. Because that cup was to demonstrate that the children of God were separated from this world. All right, so here these Jewish guys are knowing that. Okay? And they've got that cup, and they're taking that cup. And then they move on with the ceremony, with the dinner. And after that cup, I'm talking about being set apart for God, they then eat bitter herbs. And that's to remind them of their bondage, their slavery. And then after that, they take a second cup. And that cup was to remind them of being set free. So you get it? They ate the bitter herbs. They ate the bitter stuff. But then God was reminding them, you've been set free from that. You've been set free from that bondage. You've been set free from that slavery. All right? And then the next thing they would do is they would eat the lamb and the bread. And then they would take a third cup, and that was the cup of redemption, because it was the lamb that was going to set them free. It was the lamb that was the Son of God was going to forgive their sin. And then they took a fourth cup, and after singing Psalms 115 through Psalms 118, then they took a fourth cup, and that was the acceptance as God's people. So that's all happening. I mean, they've got the cup of separation. They've got the cup of redemption. They've got the cup that they're the children of God. And all that's going on. And at the same time, they're fussing about who's greatest. Amazing. They were missing the intimacy of God because they weren't focused on the kingdom. Now, there's a second truth that I want you to see quickly. Not only do we miss intimacy with Jesus if we don't focus on the kingdom, so you want to stay focused on the kingdom. The second thing is stay kingdom focused, but stay Jesus focused. I mean, just stay Jesus focused. You notice what he says beginning in verse 19. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, hang on there just a moment, all right? You see the picture? I mean, you see this? He takes a loaf of bread or a bar of bread, and he breaks it. And as the scripture says, as he's doing that, he's speaking to them. So let's just say that Tony and I are there with Jesus at the supper. And so Jesus takes a piece of that bread and he breaks it off and he gives it to Tony. And as he gives it, he says, "Now, Tony, you eat this in remembrance of me." And let's say I'm seated next to Tony, and he takes another piece of bread. "Ted, you eat this now in remembrance of me." This is not just him taking the bread and saying, "Oh, yeah, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." This is a very personal thing. As he's giving it, the scripture says, I think to each one as he gave it. You imagine he gets around to Judas. "Judas, this is my body. do this in remembrance of me. And then there's the cup. You see, he takes that cup, gives it to each person. Do this. This is my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But beloved, the thing that I want you to see is that little phrase, remembrance of me. That phrase does not mean just remember me. Remember my name. Just remember the name Jesus. That's not it at all. The idea is remember everything about me. Remember what I taught. Remember what was important. Remember what I shared. Remember what you saw me do. Remember I am God incarnate. Remember me. One of the reasons I love to come to Portland Avenue, and I've already done it this morning, is I love to come in this door back over here. And when you come in and you go around there by the men's restroom, there's a group of pictures on the wall. And it's some pictures of anniversary of the church. But as you know, my dad was pastor here back in the 50s. And my dad's picture is on that because he came and was a part of that celebration some years ago. Now dad's been with the Lord for several years. But I love to look at that picture. Now, why do I like to look at that picture? So I can say, well, there's old Bill Kirsch. Why, no. It's my dad. It's my father. He taught me so much. He taught me to love books. He taught me to love this book. He taught me to study. One of the things he always taught me was, son, read everything you could read. He would say to me, you can learn to do anything if you'll read. He taught me that. One of the things I remember Dad saying to me all the time, just be sitting beside him in the car or where we were at home, I can remember so many times him looking at me and saying, you know, son, God's been so good to us. God's been so good to us. And even the last few words that he spoke, son, God's been so good to me. I'm remembering him. When Jesus said, remember me. Beloved, he's not just saying, remember who I am. Remember that I'm Jesus. No, he is saying, remember what I taught. Remember who I am. Remember what I did. He broke that bread. This is my body now. Don't forget that. Keep on remembering me. This is my blood that takes away your sin. Don't forget that. Keep on remembering me. And he's saying to these disciples, be focused on me. And they are focused on them. And they're missing the intimacy. Now there's a final truth that I want you to hear. If we want to make sure we don't miss intimacy with Jesus, we must stay kingdom focused. And we must stay Jesus focused. But then we must stay, and I want to say this and explain it. We must stay internally focused. Now, I don't mean by that pridefully. Okay? I don't mean that at all. I mean, we must, if we're going to have intimate time with Jesus, we have to be saying, what is Jesus saying to me? When I'm reading His Word, and I'm having my quiet time, I have to be saying, what is Jesus saying to me? It's not just words on a page. It's not so I can check the box and say, well, I read my Bible this morning. No, what's He saying to me? And I've got to look internally and say, God, what do you want to change about me? What is it that needs to be different between me and you? God, where am I missing it? What sin needs to be removed? What pride needs to be removed? What is it about me, Father, that doesn't look like you? What is it about me that needs to be changed? Look inside of me, you see. And I think it's so interesting when you go through this passage of Scripture, and we've kind of done it quickly this morning, but you go through this passage of Scripture, this is very personal. I think He hands the bread to each man. I think He hands the cup to each man. I think there are times when He says, he whose hand is with mine on the table. That's very personal. That's singular. He didn't just say, well, there's one of the guys sitting around the table here. No, it's very singular. It's very personal. And that's the way Jesus worked. Remember when he says to his disciples, I must go through Samaria. I must go through Samaria. Now, why was that? Well, there was a demon-possessed man he needed to talk to. There was a woman who of great sin he needed to talk to. And you go through that and see why he had to go to Samaria. You just see individuals. Now, there were times he dealt with groups, but Jesus is an individual Lord. The psalmist. Psalms 23 is singular. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's one sheep talking about his shepherd. That's not a bunch of sheep. And as you're studying Scripture, you got to internalize it. As you're dealing with Jesus, you have to internalize it. Even with this passage of Scripture today, you've got to internalize this thing. How am I going to make sure I don't miss intimacy with Jesus? See? And so Jesus is trying to internalize this within each of them. And look at what's happening. Verse 23. And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who's going to do this thing. I'm not a real fan of the Message. It calls itself a Bible. It's not a Bible. It's a paraphrase. So you don't ever want to study it, the Message. You don't want to study it as a Bible. It's a paraphrase. But there's some great paraphrase in it. Listen to the paraphrase of that verse. In verse 23 it says, and they begin to discuss among themselves. The Message says, they became suspicious of each other and began questioning each other. This wasn't internal at all. They became suspicious of each other. Is it him? And then they began to question one another. Is it you? How about you? Peter, is it you? Thomas, you've doubted him all along, Thomas. Is it you? Judas, we've always thought you were a little weird. You've always had a sad spirit. Is it you? Bartholomew, we don't even know much about you, bud. Maybe it's you, Bartholomew. Who do you hang out with? You see, that's all going on. And they're missing intimacy because they're not internalizing what Jesus is saying. This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is given for you. I mean, even on the cross, remember? There's John down there, and there's Jesus' mother, Mary. And here he is on the cross. Behold your mother. Individual. He didn't say to the disciples, hey, you guys be sure and take care of mom. Behold your mother. See, beloved, if we don't take the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and internalize it, we miss intimacy with the Father. If it's just a book to us, we miss it. If you sit in a message like this and you're thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so hears this, you've missed it. Oh, I wish it wasn't raining so such-and-such would be here. No. It's what is God saying to me? What's he saying to me? See, otherwise, I'll miss that intimacy. When I was riding with Will the other day, there were some things I said to him that were really important. He's 17 years old. Great kid. Good athlete. Good looking kid. And so we're driving down the interstate. I said, "Will, God's got an amazing plan for you. Don't miss it. God's got a great plan for you, Will. Will, you've got some great talent. Don't misuse it. Will, you've got some great days ahead of you. Don't allow the people of the world to destroy you." I hope and pray he didn't say, "I bet Granddad says that to all of us." I hope and pray he didn't say, "Oh, that's just my preacher Granddad." Because if he did, nothing I said will change anything. Won't mean anything. But if he took it the way I think he did, to say, "Granddad's talking to me. Granddad loves me. Granddad wants the best for me. Granddad wouldn't mislead me. Granddad cares about me." If he internalized those things, boy, life can be great. Well, friends, listen. Jesus cares about me. Jesus cares about you. Jesus would not mislead me. Jesus will not mislead you. Jesus didn't just say some things for all of us. He said some things for me and some things for you. And he longs for us to be intimate with him. And so, if we're going to be intimate with Jesus, stay kingdom focused. Stay Jesus focused. Stay internally focused.